This is Yusuf.
And this is
Flight Entertainment. And we are in the triple F of October, which is the freaking, what is it? Frightening film month. Yes.
Freaking fright.
Film month. Yeah. Freaking frightening films. Yes. Yeah, we can't.
If you want rated R, it's fucking frightened film month.
That's right. So we in October, y'all. I don't know how this October is gonna like look for us as a nation with the whole COVID thing. But I mean, if anything, at least we have movies to watch.
Right. So we also have two full moons this month, which is super creepy. We have a blue moon in the month of October. Luckily, we don't have a Friday the 13th in October. So, yay!
I mean, every day this year is a Friday the 13th. 2020 is a Friday the 13th.
Or is it like Saturday the 14th? Do you remember that film? I think it was from the 80s or 90s.
Yes, I do. Well, we talked it up, so I guess we have to review it.
Oh, yes. I haven't seen that since I was a kid, but I remember it being like totally messed up and like fun and going, yes, this is kind of how the world is. So yes, we should totally review Saturday the 14th.
Stay tuned out there in podcast land. Saturday the 14th is going to be coming at you. But today, what are we giving them to kick off the triple F?
Well, we wanted to start the month of October with strong, powerful female horror movies, rather than the women always being the victims in horror movies, where we wanted to have them be the killers,
the predators. Sure. Yeah, why not?
So we're starting with Jennifer's Body, which is the 2009 movie about, basically it's about a succubus, but that's a short version of the synopsis. Mm-hmm. It was written by Diablo Cody. Who won an Oscar for Juno. Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute, hold on. I need to say, okay, she's from Chicago. Chi-Town represent. Okay, you can keep going.
Okay. And it's directed by Karen Kusama, who directed Girl Fight.
That was a good one. That was yeah, a good movie.
So you have like a nice film with lots of female empowerment in it. Mm-hmm. And it stars Megan Fox. This is post Transformers film.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda Seyfried.
Seyfried? Yeah. Sure. Yeah, sure. The chick doesn't mean girls.
And then Adam Brody, who plays like the lead singer of an indie band. 2007 was like the beginning of indie music, like indie music really breaking the charts. 2009, indie music was everywhere, and Adam Brody really embodies the look and the feel of a douchebag indie music band lead singer.
Perfectly. Yeah. Yes, and we had to give kind of like a shout out to some actors that when I rewatched it, I totally forgot was in this movie, but like, it was kind of like a blink and you miss situation. So Chris Pratt, Star-Lord, was in this movie.
He plays a police officer in training.
Yeah, Star-Lord was in here. And J. Jonah Jameson, it's like two Marvel people. J. Jonah Jameson, aka J.K. Simmons, was the teacher.
Yes.
Oh my god, that's so crazy. He had like this ridiculous kind of like curly like Jew hair like wig on.
Wait, one hand.
Yeah. Oh, that was so hilarious. And Amy Sedaris is there as
a mom.
Yeah. I was like, this is a pretty eclectic cast.
Yes.
So like Jenna was said, this movie came out 2009. And 2009, we were watching some stuff.
2009. Was it all reality TV bullshit?
The first three was. So American Idol held 1 and 2, Tuesday and Wednesday nights. Dancing with the Stars held number 3. NCIS, number 4.
Okay.
And not Monday night, but Sunday Night Football was number 5. I can't believe this came out in 2009. All right. And song of that time.
Wow.
Okay. So this group held down, they had back to back hits that spanned from April to October 10th.
Again, I was only listening to indie music.
Okay, I just tell you then. So it was Black Eyed Peas, I Got a Feeling.
That was 2009.
I know. That's what that was 2009.
I
feel
that's a
90s
song.
No, it feels like a 90s song, but no, that was 2009. That tonight's gonna be a good night. And then before that, okay, so I Got a Feeling was number 1 from July 11th to October 10th. And from April 18th to July 4th, they had a number 1 hit with Boom Boom, what, Boom Boom Pow? So they...
I don't know that song, but
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. It's like, I got that. Was it Boom Boom Boom? I got that Boom Boom. And Fergie was like, I got that Boom Boom Boom. Yeah. That's crazy. I don't think I've seen that before, but that's crazy. I didn't know those two songs held down April, May, June, July, August, September. Two songs. That's crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So that's what we were bouncing around to in the clubs and in the cars. And then we were bouncing to the theater. Okay. So we were listening to I Got a Feeling as we were driving to the multiplexes to see Jennifer's Body.
Right. Meanwhile, I was listening to things like the Yeah, Yeah, Yeahs.
When did the Shins come out?
The Shins? Oh, way before that.
Okay. I kind of get them all like mixed in.
Yeah. Like Passion Pit. Yeah. I mean, 2007, 2008, 2009, like going to Austin Limits Music Festival was so much fun. All the indie bands. Yeah.
Was this
the Brothers.
Yeah. Was this around Arcade Fire time?
Yes, Arcade Fire coming out with their the neighborhood song.
Yeah. It was like a renaissance in indie bands.
Yes. Much fun. But we are not discussing indie bands. We are discussing Jennifer's Body.
Oh, that sounded so dirty. Which they call this a comedy horror. They put comedy before the horror.
Trying to think of how it's a comedy.
Oh, it's definitely a lot of comedic like moments in here.
I mean, yes. Some of the one-liners in this movie are fucking brilliant.
Yeah. Slightly dated, but really, really hilarious.
No, I mean, yes, some of them are dated, but like there's a scene where Jennifer gets stabbed and she doesn't die. She goes, "Do you have a tampon?" I mean, just fantastic one-liners.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Yeah.
And Megan Fox delivers them amazingly.
Yeah, she was perfect. She was perfect for this role. Perfect. And then, okay, so, well, like I said, if, for people who haven't seen it, like, you know, just give it a look. It's fun. It's crazy. It's funny. And it all... Okay, so when I rewatched the film, it's kind of like what I kind of got out of kind of like the subtext. Well, I mean, you could walk away. Besides the obvious, it's kind of like the whole notion of grieving, like grief. So this is kind of like a town that never really experienced grief, that never really experienced like death of, you know, people close to them. And so when like
destruction.
Yeah. So yeah. So when you start seeing like, you know, people kind of dropping off and people getting missing, you start seeing the reaction of people in this town and this high school, like just really just like, oh my God, I can't believe like he or she is gone. And it's funny in the juxtaposition of Jennifer, who's possessed at this point, just kind of like laughing it off, just kind of looking at them a little funny, like, why are you guys like grieving? Why are you guys pouring all of this like sadness into this jock or this, you know, douchebag or things like that kind of thing? It's like, I'm living my best life kind of thing. Like, I don't know why you guys are sad and kind of situation. So,
right. So yeah, I mean, the movie starts out as like your typical teenage movie. You have the cheerleader, hot chick type, you have the nerd type, then you have the athletic boys, and they go to go see an indie band, which is where Adam Brody comes into play. He's the lead singer of a indie band that's trying to make it big, and the band needs to find a virgin to sacrifice to become the next big thing, which leads to one of the best monologues in a movie that I've heard in a long time. That is very, very relevant for the like 2010s and how indie bands were fighting against each other. It goes into something like, you know, you can only make it if you get on David Letterman at night, and all of us indie band singers look the same. It's just, it's a brilliant monologue. So we find out that Jennifer becomes a succubus because the indie band led by Adam Brody has to sacrifice a virgin, and she's not a virgin. So when she's sacrificed, she ends up becoming a succubus. And, you know, in folklore, we can go down the road of all of the succubus folklore.
And I think Heidi want to talk about this also. the whole succubus thing. I mean, and then plus you can kind of like go into the thing of maybe, you know, with the like demon vampires, all of that. And they made it like, well, of course it definitely was not a vampire situation, but it was kind of like the situation of like absorbing or eating or getting blood, stuff like that.
You can dive into a deep hole in researching succubus online. But for me, going back to Jennifer's body connection, the best story is Lilith, who was Adam and Eve's first wife. And she refused to sleep with him. And so she went and slept with an archangel and thereby became a succubus because she refused her intended based on God's direction. And so I found that mythology interesting. I mean, basically succubus are always like the evil women that sleep with men to suck out their power. In Jennifer's Body, they take a twist on the same succubus story, and the main character, Jennifer, is murdered. She's not raped, she's just murdered.
Yeah, she's part of a ritual a sacrifice.
Yes, and because she's not a virgin, it goes bad, and a demon possesses her, and that's where things start to go wrong for the community of Devil's Hole.
Exactly. Amanda Seyfried, we pretty much following her. She's the main character. You know, we hear voiceover through her because we kind of following her point of view into the story. Because she's the, you know, she's the best, she's the BFF of Jennifer. And it's so funny, like her name in the movie, Amanda Seyfried, the main character that we follow, her name is Needy, N-E-E-D-Y. And when you watch the film, it's definitely a play on her character because she's like, she needs the acceptance of Jennifer. She needs to be where she needs the confirmation of Jennifer, you know, embracing her to be like, oh, I'm good because Jennifer's with me, you know. Yeah. And so, but Needy, you know, have a boyfriend, you know, herself, you know, but they haven't gone all the way yet.
Right.
Right.
And her boyfriend's name is Chip. Mm-hmm. He's like a side character until the third act, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So we see Jennifer kind of, you know, being her Jennifer self, and, you know, she's locking in on different, you know, dudes in high school, and, you know, kind of luring them and killing them.
So, I mean, the whole thing of a succubus is that you can't stay alive unless you eat the body of something, of a human. And usually, like, devouring the essence through sex. And so she seduces all these boys in order for them to have sex with her, and then she devours them.
Right. But that's the thing. She don't even have to have sex. You just have to, like, get them alone so she can eat them.
Yeah. I feel like they could have definitely, I mean, is this a rated R movie? It is.
Genoa, come on. You know it's an R-rated movie. But you see it, people getting eaten and guts being displayed.
I mean, there could definitely be a much more rated R version of this. I felt like it was PG-13.
Oh, goodness. 17. Yeah, no. No, it was rated R, definitely.
There's no nudity. I mean, we know I never hear profanity in movies, so right. I'm going to go with very little profanity. Mm-hmm. And the blood and guts, I mean, there wasn't that, they don't really show that much blood and guts.
I mean, but there was gore.
But not anything more than I might see on NCIS, which was one of the top film TV shows.
See, now we're getting into the head of Genoa and how she processed, like, TV and movie violence as, like, that was nothing. It's sure. People outside of her head is like, oh, my God, that was gore.
I mean, in my defense, looking at medical photos for Lunch and Learns, you kind of get desensitized to blood and guts.
See, there you go.
Right.
Well, we haven't achieved that level yet, so.
I'm still going to go with on NCIS, there's about the same amount of blood and guts that you see in Jennifer's body. I feel like the only reason why this was rated R was because you have a female protagonist as a killer versus having male protagonists.
And plus, a lot of F-bombs were dropped that you didn't pay attention to. Yeah, of course. I mean, it's like Adam Brody and, like, his band, whatever. I mean, they were, like, you know, they were dropping some F-bombs and stuff like that. Yeah, okay. It's an R-rated film. It's funny, like, it's one of those, like, yeah, it's one of those R-rated horror films. Even though it's, like, it's a, in the context of, like you were saying, like, just extreme violence and gore, it's like a light R. It's a light R, but it's still an R. It's a light R. it's a diet R, just one calorie. And then it's fun. Then you have kind of like the homoerotic thing between Needy and Jennifer. It's like, you know, she like Needy kind of wants Jennifer, like she's like attracted to her.
And Jennifer, I mean, they even like at the beginning when we first meet Jennifer and Needy, another girl in the stands leans over and goes, "There's way too much homoeroticism going on between the two of you." And then there's another scene where Jennifer goes, "Well, I go both ways."
because Needy was like, "I thought you only killed dudes." She's like, "I go both ways." I'm like, "Yes, you do." And it was a scene where, you know, the possessed Jennifer, you know, it's like luring Needy to kind of have her act on her impulses,
her inner desire.
Yeah, and it was a nice makeout scene between those two. Right. I'm not gonna lie.
Amanda Seyfried has said that was probably the best makeout scene she's ever had. So
I agree.
Megan Fox and Amanda have both stated that this is their favorite movie from their like all the movies that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it's a fun movie.
Yeah, it's fun. Exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, it's kind of like with all kind of, it's if you're doing a horror movie, you do have to follow certain tropes and you see them. But the cool thing is they threw something, you know, different, you know, they threw a new coat of paint, you know, on an old car kind of thing. Right. And I would say with the not standout, but it's a piece of dialogue that I thought was like, you know me, like when I hear like a good piece of like dialogue, I'm like, oh, damn, that was good. All right. So in the funeral of, I forget which one, Jennifer.
Is it the football player?
It was the emo kid, right? And, you know, in the funeral, like his emo friends was like, oh, he's going to I forget what they were saying. And then the mother just like kind of goes off of them a little bit. And she says, you know, you could take, I'm not really saying this verbatim, but she tells them, you know, you can take your pain and shove it up your young asses. It's like, I have the monopoly on pain right now. I was like, damn, like that was fun. That was a well-written piece of dialogue.
Yeah, the one-liners and the dialogue in this movie are fantastic. I mentioned the tampon one. There's one like where Needy goes, "Are you PMSing or something?" And Jennifer goes, "PMSing isn't real, Needy. It was invented by the boy run media to make us seem like we're crazy." This movie is an amazing study of dialogue. It's fantastic. I mean, you know, the writer.
Yeah, Diablo, yeah. She got an Oscar for her screenplay for Juno, so, you know.
Yeah, she's a fantastic writer. The dialogue in Juno also is amazing. The dialogue in Jennifer's Body. I feel like Jennifer's Body was not promoted effectively or correctly back in 2009, and so it didn't make as much money as it needed to or could have or been as successful as it would have. It definitely has a cult following now, but I feel like everyone needs to watch this just for the dialogue in the movie. Like, even if you don't want to see all the gore, listen to the dialogue, especially if you're into movie making. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a short movie. It's an hour and a half.
Yeah, no, it's not long. But yeah, it's definitely, yeah. Okay, sorry. We kind of put in the cart before the horse. All right, so our Triple F rating. Frightening freaking film rating goes. All right.
We'll fix this next week, but yeah, right now.
It's like you're on the couch, butt on the couch. It's a good watch, you know. You're not gonna waste your time. Putting on your shoes, contemplating going outside. Like, it's not the worst, it's not the best. It's definitely a meh. And go outside, meaning I will rather go outside, risk COVID and or police brutality than to sit in this house and watch this movie. So what'd you give it?
I mean, sit on the sofa for me.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah.
All the
way. Yeah, definitely. Same here. Sounds so. I mean, it's fun. You know, you see Megan Fox prance around. That's not a bad thing. You see Amanda Seyfried and Megan Fox make out. That's not bad either. So, I mean, it's a lot of visually stimulating things in this film.
I mean, the dialogue is absolutely fun the entire time. The murder scenes aren't that graphic. I mean, I think you see the dead bodies afterwards, but you don't actually see the murder happening.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's like a touchy point for you, nothing's ever going to jump out at you and really terrify you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then like the third act in the ending, you know, is, you know, pretty cool. Like I said, don't definitely not going to give that away for people who did not see this movie, but yeah, it was a good, clever, third act and ending, and even post credit, even credit ending was, you know, very clever.
Yes.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yes. So Jennifer's Body, 2009 film. Like I said, if you haven't seen it, check it out. It was fun. It's a good hour and a half. Yeah, it was cool. You'll dig it. I think you will. We did.
Yeah, exactly. So in October we will continue to do freaky what are our three episodes?
Freaking frightening films.
Yes. And we're going to try to not do your traditional horror movies, but we may go there.
Yeah, we may throw you a bone and give you some, you know, some familiars.
Yeah.
Yeah, but until Thursday, we wish y'all safe physical distancing and
please vote and wear a mask.
Yes. Peace. Home alone.